Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Countdowns 1, 2, 3. It's funny when they do that. Anyway, welcome to When Pigs Fly, and here I'm doing it again on Skype. It's working out really good since not doing it on my digital phone. This is Andrew Fetter, and again, welcome to When Pigs Fly. I reiterate. I want to thank you all out there who are listening, and all those who have been listening on my archives as well. Or past shows, and of course, future shows. BBS Radio. And of course, I was playing on the tally of that song on the end. Probably heard a dish of cool water, nothing like a fresh cool water. And that's, of course, from Angie Mattson's new album that was just been released, which I've consistently been telling you about. Check her out at angiematson.com. You can check out and leave and listen to songs and download individually, but I suggest you'll love her out new album, Skeleton Arm. And while you're at it, or not at it, or somewhere in there, do check out andrewspirit.com and check out my newly wrote book if you want to know what going out of body is like. That's my new novel that I had just recently released. And do check it out. And feel free to always contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com if you've got any questions and whatnot. I'm going to have some lined up pretty soon, some guests. I've been very selective. Some people have been wanting to come on my show, but I've been pushing off actually guests lately because I felt there are certain things either to get off my chest or things that people have asked me for. And, I basically do this show, like I've always said, is not for any publicity things or anything like that, but just basically get things out that I feel that people either misconstrue or misunderstand or look at things in a more open perspective, in different ways of looking at things. Don't always think within the box, but stand outside the box and look outside from the box, or so-called thinking outside the box. And this comes up to a point that I've seen, and it's sort of funny when I do my shows. It's sort of funny how the universe presents certain things for me to do a show. I'm like, I always go, what am I going to do for my next show? And it's sort of funny because the universe seems to point to me some issue that's thrown in front of my face. And then I feel passionately compelled to bring about because I see something going on in me back of mind that's like, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So I decided to do that. And one issue, which really started bothering me because, and I noticed that was when I was in overseas, about regarding symbols. And here I see it again regarding on Facebook. I saw many posts talking and explaining about symbols to a point of extreme exaggeration and naivety at the same time, and being very uneducated into the sense of living in a fishbowl with the assumption that their only perception of these symbols exists. And sometimes misinformed about what these symbols are and what really symbols are in fact in the reality of the universe. I mean, first of all, this goes into perspective, especially in the West. And when I say the West, I'm also including the Middle East because they fall in the same picture. I'm talking Middle East like Muslim, Arab, Jewish, Mideast, including Europe, including Latin America. That's when I refer to the West. And often, and I still see this consistently, it's sort of weird. They always say the West, assume the West exists and as if the Far East never did, which is sort of ironic. You know, they talk about like, you know, Roman civilization, which paramount of the rest of the world was civilization. Of course, they forget about Genghis Khan actually controlled more land and more area and more nations and more peoples than, you know, Rome did, right? And for a little bit longer time. Well, maybe not as long as time. I have to look into it. I don't remember now. But the thing I'm elaborating is people assume it's only that, like, everything starts from Egypt and Samaria. And they always assume things are always the Western way of perceiving things, including symbols and images and so on. Like in Egypt or Samaria. And they act as if there was no civilization, you know, like they're saying the world's flat. And from, you know, when it got to Babylon, the world, or Iran, or even India, the world just fell off the edge for some reason. And they don't realize there was a civilization called in China, you know, now present China, that was in fact further ahead of the West. And many assume, like, for example, and I use assume like, you know what they mean by that, assume symbols in the West mean something, but don't even realize that the same symbols or similar symbols in the East mean something completely opposite or totally different. I mean, many people live in a total fishbowl of their own perception, and they assume, again, assume, you know what they say about assume, making an ass of you and me, they assume that they have the only perception, and that's that thus they are somehow awakened and all others aren't. I've done a whole passion show, hour show about what really being awakened is, and being awakened, come on, it has nothing to do about being aware of the NWO. You know, this is being hijacked. Name. It's sort of weird how words get hijacked and they constantly reiterated over and over. I hate to say, it's sort of like the word ghetto. Ghetto actually originally came from placing Jews in certain compounds, and then that became, from black slums, became ghettos, you know, and then later called the hood. But it's funny how words get hijacked, but in Awaken, it's really, really misconstrued because it's dealing with an issue that I feel that's absolutely opposite from what it is. Being awakened has nothing, again, to do with awareness of the New World Order. Nothing. That's not being awakened. Oh, I'm aware of it. That's not being awakened. Being awakened is in reality, is a continued process. You know, I'm reiterating from my last show, just very briefly. I don't get into it too much. Awaken is a continued process of increasing your frequency, which increases your ability to perceive, thus expanding your awareness. It is a spiritual process, a spiritual awareness, and which is often termed applied in becoming more enlightened, which is what it's referring to. So when you say somebody's is enlightened or more becoming more, they're literally becoming more awakened. So when you're enlightened, you're sort of waking up to more things. See, when your elevation, your level of loving, you become more awakened to the other things. So what happens is your perception increases. You see things, you understand things more and more. You broaden your things. And that's a process. That's why I say it's not being awake that you know there's a new world order. It's simply saying, yeah, you know, you've heard about it, I read about it, but that has nothing to do about being your spirituality. You know, so that's basically in a nutshell. Like I'm constantly hearing a lot of, and this is where I got really, you know, okay, enough is enough. I kept on hearing, sometimes I can't, in which I hear it a lot of BS, and I just think, okay, I've heard it all. And I really got tired of all the hyperbole, all the exaggeration. So I finally said, okay, enough is enough. I have to speak my mind. Now I'm going to go and issue what I had seen, which sort of got to me when I, the reason why I'm bringing this up, because somebody had put up a video. You know, it was regarding the New World Order and the Illuminati and the symbols and the Masons, what they use. And what really blew me away, you know, it's like jumping to conclusions and speculations. And they make the speculations into facts. But they aren't facts, they're speculations. They have no concrete evidence and nothing. It's all pure BS. And one of it was dealing with the issue of the symbol of the ego. And they start showing a comparison. Well, there was an ego somehow utilized in Samaria. And there was an ego somehow used in Egypt. And there's somehow an ego used in... ancient Israel, or there was an ego used by the Romans, and then there's an ego used by the Masons with the two-headed eagle, and there's an ego used by the Nazis, and there's an ego used here, and there in the U.S. is using an ego, and the reason why is because it's a Masonic symbol. The reason why the U.S. is using has the bald eagle, and I go, oh, okay, I've heard it all now. That's enough. And I got tired of it because it kept on making up more crap. I mean, making the ego from Masonic to Babylonian to Romanian, now American, and somehow everything's all related to Illuminati Masonic symbols is pure bullshit. I mean, come on. It's jumping from speculation to speculation if you want to get down to it. So please, could someone just put down their crack pipe of ignorance and futile isolation perceptions down for a moment and open your eyes and see for what is real, not made up speculation. I mean, so before I get down to how the symbols are often affecting within humanity as well as individual, I'm going to carry on what I'm going to get into regarding this particular issue with the ego, for example. The U.S. ego. The reason why there is a bald ego in the United States symbol is not because of Mason ideology or Masonic or any other BS crap. First of all, if that were true, that would mean all the Native Americans are Masons. That would make the Mayans Mason, the Hopi Mason, the Lakota Masons. See, this is where I'm telling you how ignorance is ignorance. Straight up ignorant. They have no effing clue why America has an ego. Because they live in their little bubble. Afraid the world is going to affect their minds. You know, time to pop the bubble and get to reality. The ego is a very sacred animal, bird, amongst the Native Americans. The bald eagle in particular. In fact, the Hopi often confirm within their understandings well over before there is even an ideology of Masons. Before any white man came onto, stepped on Americas. The bald eagle is a very sacred animal along with the golden eagle, but is a symbol of guidance and wisdom. They often look at the ego as a chosen master of the skies by the creator. So in doing so, this is the very reason why the U.S. applied it. See, first of all, the Native Americans and the ego It is believed within their belief that works as a messenger for the creator, their creator of God. In fact, it is a task within the duty of the carrying the prayers of human beings from earth to the world spirit where they believe the creator resides. Seeing an eagle during a prayer or ceremony was taken as a sign of having one's prayer accepted. So if the Native Americans wanted the creator to take immediate notice of them, they'd often even hold an eagle feather in their hand as a symbol. So when people assume all symbols have somehow or way or correlation to what they believe, all the same or similar, that is absolute hyperbole, bullshit, exaggeration. You see, that's why America took up the eagle. It was as a symbol of wisdom and guidance, period. By guiding a new nation. Wisdom. That's all it was. In fact, it had nothing to do with Masons. In fact, ironically, the United States government, by the way, partially is its theology is set up as Masonic ideology of freedom and speech. It's the rigid, the fundamentals of Masonic ideology. But it has its ideas of setting up individual states and forming a republic or confederacy at the time, eventually a federal government, was actually duplicating the Iroquois nation. And the Iroquois were made up of several nations in the East through votes. And by the way, the Iroquois voted. They had their own democracy. Yeah, it was democracy well in the United States before a white man came here. In fact, the Native Americans, amongst us, the Iroquois, used to have their women go into, and they had a republic, would sit in lodges, and they would vote. And the woman would represent, often represent, each lodge or each of them who they would apply and make a vote. This is how, by the way, they, and by the Americans, living amongst the Native Americans would duplicate a lot of things. They learned from their neighbors. That's why the Oxel changed. They were not having an English mentality. They had a lot of Native American mentality brought into them by living amongst them. It's only natural. So, like, again, that's how the symbols for the bird, for the eagle was. Now, every people and every society looks upon symbols with its own perceived understanding of the symbol. Symbols can and are and can mean different things to different people. You know, what I've seen in many posts and websites, in particular, linking symbols that the so-called Illuminati use and the Freemason use are somehow the same as why they're used amongst all people within humanity, when in fact they're not. This is, again, a blatant ethnocentric view and is pure BS, and one that I've seen over and over and over again. I mean, it's a fishbowl mentality. One blatant form of this ethnocentrism. By the way, ethnocentrics, for those who don't understand, means to live within your own cultural beliefs, thinking or perceiving the only way, West way is the way of perceiving symbols, for example. That things is only exist in your own perception within your own cultural facade or whatever. And this is where I like to said over, I heard this over and over again. It was absolute nonsense and inane to think these symbols apply across the board throughout humanity, when in fact they do not. People in the Far East identify their own perception of symbols and things, including even differently, often differently, than others from the West, and is based upon a cultural perception that I'm talking about. Now, I'll even give you an example of color. You go color, for example, in the West. What is red often associated? Red is associated either with, some people would say red is anger, passion, right? Well, white, the color white is looked upon as something very pure. You know, we say, oh, the white light. White. While in the Far East, what is considered pure and enlightening and a beautiful color is red. That is purity. That's why you see in the Far East, in like China, for example, a red is often used because it looked as a good, in their view, a purity, as opposed to the color white. You see, it's, everybody has different perspectives. Culturally, even now, again, animal symbols have different as well meanings from culture to culture, including the eagle, like I just explained. Eagles could also mean, like in the Americas, were meant to be a symbol of wisdom and guidance. To Europeans, because of the Roman mentality, eagle was looked on as a thing of power. In the Middle East, for example, Egypt uses the symbol of the eagle as power. The Nazis use it as a thing of power. So they assume that the eagle for everybody is the same, when in fact it isn't. In the Americas, it was meant as guidance, like I had just mentioned. Now, other symbols are often opposite again. And dragons, for example, is another one. Dragons in the West is often looked upon as bad or evil. You know, we got to slay that evil dragon, right? You know, the guy who saves the world. Look at the movies. Oh, the mean little dragon with its fire going to kill you. And, of course, the knight kills the dragon and saves the princess or whatever. While in the East, again, the dragon is often looked upon as like a guide of wisdom. I mean, in I Ching, Confucius consistently uses the dragon as a term of guidance. Why does the dragon lie low? Kun, kun, kun. And that's the several elements of the dragon guiding us, telling us how to live. I mean, the dragon is not just used as just wisdom, it's very good. That's why the dragon is often used in celebrations, like for example, the New Year's in the Far East. It symbolizes also longevity, that you'll live a long life. Again, positive, wisdom, good. While in the West, it's negative. See, it depends on everybody's perceptions, I apologize. The same thing was like with snakes. You know, everybody has different views of snakes. You know, it's the evil serpent that was the devil that talked to. It never even says the snake in Hebrew. It doesn't say Nahash that swam there. But they assume that it's a snake. So the snake, in Western terms, is associated with something evil. It's going to bite you. It's bad, right? Some places it's considered sacred. India, I remember there's certain areas they considered good. Egypt too, well, the Europeans are bad, America might be, you know, some areas think it's bad, Native Americans, some thought good, some thought bad, you know, there. And then there's different views depending on who, you know, but it was but snakes were often respected amongst the Americas, the Aztecs, the Mayans. I think, like I said, I believe the Indians, but I'm not 100% of India. The wolf, for example, there's another animal in Europe, the wolf, the mean wolf, Little Red Riding Hood. A wolf is evil, right? Mean wolf, you know, three little pigs, the mean little wolf, right? Look at the context. The wolf is sort of evil in Europe. Oh, the werewolf is bad. Amongst Native Americans, it was looked upon good. If you woke up and you had a dream, and thereupon you woke up from your dream, or you dreamt of a wolf, it was considered something good. See, the opposite. Depends whose perspective on the same symbols. Simple symbols bring up different emotions depending on the individual and or individual's perception as well. Besides, not just the cultural. You know, there's a perfect example of one symbol that, and I often was sort of took it at large. I mean, I remember a long time ago when it became an issue in the United States about the use of a Confederate flag. And I asked some people, like, from the South. I mean, I asked them, you know, among some African-Americans, when they see a Confederate flag, they think of nothing but evilness, right? Or most people would think or assume seeing Confederate flag is almost like looking at a Nazi flag for Jews. It represents evil, their enslavement, hangings, killings, rape, torture, the brutality of racism. Yet amongst a lot of Southerners, it symbolizes a Southern pride of their individualism in their own culture. I mean, look even today, the state of Mississippi has, within its own flag, a Confederate symbol in it. So it's weird how people will look upon the same symbol with two different looks. I just mentioned the Nazis, for example, and the Nazi used the symbol of the swastika. And of course, which was used by many cultures throughout the past for some 3,000 years before that. And by the way, represented life, sun, power, strength, and good luck. In fact, the word swastika has its origins in Hindu and Buddhism. In fact, the word swastika comes from the word in Sanskrit. Swastika in Sanskrit is swastika. Su meaning good, and asti meaning to be. Ka is a suffix, so it's meaning to be good. So much for the swastika being good, right? And that's for what was turned out to be from the actions of the Nazis, of course, right? How evil, racism. I mean, the Native Americans even had it as a symbol meaning life. You know, you see the symbol going around as life keeps on going around and around, like the sun or whatever. Ironically, due to, like what I said, the Nazis should change that. So when we see the swastika, it's seen as very pure evil, death, racism. So it's, a perception. Yeah, here's the crucial part. I mean, really, really, really important. If anything I said here is sort of like collage and, you know, you sort of got it that I'm talking about exaggerations and perceptions of symbols depending on peoples. Here's probably the most important part about symbols. They have no power. Meaning, they mean nothing. I mean, only something to what one perceives then it and identifies it having it. Power. That's the only power, is your own perceived assumption that it has power. Your own assumed perception, thinking that it has some sort of situation about it. So when you see the one-eyed ones on the pyramids, it has meaning for the ones who think that there is a meaning. But the symbol again means absolutely crap in itself. Because in reality, it's just a symbol. And each and everyone will look at it, then perceive as it. Okay, if I were to tell you, hey, you know what? On the dollar bill, there's an over eye looking over the pyramid. And you had no understanding, knew nothing about the Illuminati symbols or Masonic temples or anything like that. Didn't think that it would mean nothing to you, right? So therefore, if it had nothing, meant nothing to you, you would never give it power, empowering it. Often I remember my teacher says, you're empowering them. So what happens is, and they love it, by the way, because these people aren't stupid. They're manipulating you, all those people who think they're awakened, by empowering them. As much as you don't understand that they are making you want to hate, by the way, your emotions and your perceptions are now empowering those symbols. Not that the symbols have any power. Your emotion and your thoughts have power, and that's the manipulation part, by the way, which I have talked about in the past. So, in fact, these symbols, if you didn't know what they were, didn't really care, that's what they would be, nothing what you think or what they care. But now that you know that it does, if you look at it as just what it is, it's just an eye over a pyramid, and you're aware of, okay, so maybe that's what's applied to Illuminati, maybe that's what the Masons have, which is possibility that they, you know, and we're speculating now, we're guessing that's what it's utilized. And, yeah, maybe more or less probably is, because there are a lot of Mason symbols, and that's definitely a truism that are happen. I mean, this country was founded with a lot of Masons in there. You know, I don't see Masons, by the way, in this past as something negative. There's, I believe, there's like not all fingers are the same. Just like then, and I'm not going to go into the issues of the Masons and Illuminati and what they are, but there's a lot of speculation regarding that as well. I mean, there are people who are in power, and they're just happen to be Masons, or they happen to be Illuminati and the evil Luciferian understandings. There is definitely, I said in the past, a group of people who are manipulating and controlling are the policies around the world are trying to implement their policies. And that's actually a fact. I mean, you can just look at the correlations of the meetings with the Bilderberg meetings to the owners of the banks, which I'm not going to get into right now. Like I said, I've done shows on the past about it. But to go and jump from one conclusion to the next, Austin, by the way, loses credibility, by the way, of those who are presenting. This is my issue. I mean, I've seen people post stuff to the point where now I sort of lose credibility even listening to them because they make so much BS up. They make up too much speculation. I haven't seen any real fact. I don't want to sit there and look at somebody, a video, watching somebody tell me speculative things without producing some facts or things that they can show me identifications. And sometimes they'll make up facts. By the way, I saw the same video, by the way, I was sort of surprised, called Assyria. Now, this is how retarded that video was. Assyria was Babylon. I'm like, wow. Syria was Babylon. I think Assyria was in present-day Syria, and Babylon is where Iraq was. And then they were talking about somehow the Illuminati are sprung from the tribe of Dan. Dan, you know, the lost tribes of Israel. They knew where Dan was. They didn't even know that it was like got its butt whacked constantly. It used to be near, its tribe was associated near the area, was known as near Gaza and Ashkelon, near present, where present Israel is. And then they, because constant Philistine attacks, they had to move their entire tribe to the north. There's a place called Tel Dan, where they actually were in northern Israel, up near what would be today close to the border of Lebanon. And Syria, and right in that little area. And they were gone. They're sort of like, you know, part of the lost tribes that sort of disappeared when the Syrians took over northern Israel, when Israel was split up between Israel and Judea at the time. So it's sort of like people don't even know history or know facts. Better before they do a video, should do some normal research or have some understandings of stuff. I mean, come on. Anyway, I don't want to get into that, but that's just sort of a thing that just popped in my mind about that. But I'm just going to go back into the symbols, and it's often, like I said, the cultural and emotion things that are directed upon are based upon your own perspectives. And sometimes these perceptions don't have a real logic to them, to the reality of what these are. These symbols, what they are just that. And everybody will do certain things based upon their symbols and react to symbols without any logic behind them, only based upon their perception, their own little non-reality of things. And I'll give you an example, a perfect example of symbols, how people react to them and what happens, and two different cultures looking at the same object. Many Muslims got offended or upset, you know, they reacted violently over the image of the cartoon of Muhammad that was done up in Scandinavia, I think it was Sweden or Denmark, oh no, it was Denmark, you know, with the bomb thingy or whatever, and there was riots and this, but it was a damn cartoon. It was a thing scribbled on a piece of paper. But to them, this symbol meant something. And this is getting to the point of what I was getting to with the point bullshit magic that is applied to images and symbols. See, these people who are emotionally upset or react to symbols because they've lost their willpower, are declining their willpower to a point. I mean, they decline their self-worth, in fact. Because how can you get upset to an image when in reality that image is nothing? I mean, to the point of doing something violent. It's a damn image. So people who do this have really not that much self-worth now, would they? I mean, if they had self-worth, then they would have more reality that it means nothing. Because they'd have a better outlook of what the universe really is. They'd be in reality. Right now, they're living in a facade of their own perceived perception of what they think is reality. They're living in an illusion. So, people often I can point to many other people, by the way, who think that they are spiritual, in essence of a religious point, to what they themselves have been told to believe in by their priest, minister, pastor, mullah, imam, rabbi, or monk, and including Luciferian so-called leaders. I mean, when they bow down to these symbols or make something very precious or kiss these symbols or make rituals about these symbols, but in reality, these symbols are nothing. They're squat. They're bullshit. They mean nothing. In reality, nothing. They only have what you think they are, you believe they are. Again, think. That, again, is what it is. Just your simple little belief, not reality. The belief is your assumed perception of reality, but it is not reality. Again, no, it isn't. It is, as I often have said, that your reality is based upon your perception, which is based upon your frequency. And by increasing your frequency, broadens your understanding, which heightens your perception, thus increasing your awareness. Again, what is this symbol is? What is it? A cross. Star of David. A crescent moon. Symbol of Jesus. Symbol of Muhammad. Symbol of Buddha. Means nothing. They're crap. Period. Tell you straight up. In reality, they're nothing. Zippo. Nada. The symbol of a Torah. The symbol of Quran. The writings actually mean nothing. It's your relationship, your perception of them, your thoughts behind them that you create. That's actually an illusion. In reality, that's the reality. There are concepts that you may take and the way you perceive certain concepts. Yeah, that to you, you make into your reality by your own perception of your own things. But when you take those symbols and you make them as a reality of something precious, then you've worked in yourself a non-reality. Even gold in itself has no real reality, except what it's applied into scientifically terms is utilized for a person to utilize to as a tool to benefit whatever. But simple as a thing to stick on your finger or your ears, we've created our own illusion that it has worth. And the illusion of worth. These symbols have no worth because they're just based upon illusionary perceptions. In reality, what are they? Drawings? Somebody made up with their hands, carved it up. Somebody drew it out. Somebody stamped it, put it in a book, multiple pages of it. Took a feather pen and drew it on some Sanskrit or some parchment or something. Mean nothing. They're all magic. But in reality, that's what magic is pure BS. And they're only magic unless you believe they are, have some special power. That's the trick. Remember I did that about the magic trick. Now, I'm getting back to, like I said, now I'm getting back to a prior show, which I talked about magic tricks and how they really work. If you believe in them, that's how they work. You have to believe in them. And by believing in them, you're giving up what? You're giving up your willpower to believe in something that is not reality. When you allow somebody to control your mind, including your mind, so-called mind control, you are giving up your willpower. Because no one can control your mind unless you volunteer. That's when you say, oh, they're controlling my mind. The Manchurian effect. I've seen all that bullshit too. No, I'm sorry to tell you, but in reality, those people who became Manchurian candidates somewhere along the line volunteered. Yes, volunteered. Gave up their free will and allow them being told what to do. No one becomes a soldier unless you volunteer to be a soldier. You can say, oh God, they forced me to be a soldier by, you know, the old days, whips and chains or threatened. But still, you volunteered, you made a choice out of it. Nobody does things without choice. Everything is with choice. You may have in your perspective that you don't have choice, but you've already just chosen your perspective now, didn't you? That's what I'm talking about. We choose our perception. We choose the way we look at things. And that's also based upon our choice of growing or elevating our frequency, or in the reverse, diminishing our frequency creates another thing. You know, you can go 3 steps up and go 4 steps backwards. That's lowering your things of perception. You hear often people, well, God, I know what happened to me. I was feeling so happy. I saw things in the future, and I looked at things so serene, and now I'm like, I feel I've gone backward. Because they've chosen to lower their frequency. And like I've said in my past shows, and I often use of this, it's like so funny how a use of hypothesis. You give the person doing the hypothesis permission, and the volunteer will be giving it their. Excuse me. Let me apologize. I gave a reference one time about hypnosis and about giving up your free will, which, by the way, I highly don't recommend. Don't ever do hypnosis. Because when you're doing, you're actually diminishing your free will, and you're lowering your frequency when you do that. By major storms, by the way. Even though you think you're all enlightened, loving, and all that stuff, you do that. You don't realize your will, by the way, is in your throat chakra. So it's like cutting off your head. You can have all of the love in your heart, but if you have no brain, you're just lost. Which I'll have a thing I'm going to say at the end of the show. Anyway, when a person does hypnosis, it's giving permission or volunteering to give your willpower away. Now, the same thing happens with symbols as well. If you believe someone puts a symbol and you believe it has some sort of power in some way and somehow can influence you, then what have you just done? You have just given away your willpower. I mean, there are many people who talk about the New World Order with the Illuminati and their symbols, and that they'll influence people, make them more into sheep and believe in Luciferian ways and some other crap. But it's all pure BS unless these people want to give up their willpower, which they can. I mean, look at humanity has given a lot of willpower away. Things are changing that. But in a lot of sense, not. Four steps up, 3 steps back. Baby steps, huh? Anyway, if you know what that drawing is, or the design, and that's what it is, that's all it is, then you realize it's all BS. You realize that's all it is. Nothing but a design, a drawing, a symbol. See, upside down pentagram, you know, that represents maybe a Luciferian thing, for example. Because as they identify it, they themselves have their illusionary perception of that has some sort of importance. a cross has some significance to, you know, Christians, a Mogan David to Jews. You know, everybody has their symbols. Now, they're applied to concepts. That's a different story. To understand that have, you know, let's say it has conceptual things behind them. But when you give power to these symbols, like I said, and make them more than what they are, that they have somehow influenced people, that's a different thing. When they start influencing people, that has a different application, including images. Now, there are symbols that influence by its own nature and its desire. And this is how they work. Things that apply, because human nature, we have our natural desires, so to speak. Innate, if you want to call. Through your hypothalamus, for example, create, which is part of in your brain for like being hungry and whatnot, or sexual desires, endeavors. These are why, by the way, this is why sex, for example, is utilized often in advertising. Has, by the way, nothing to do about praying to Lucifer or being decadent. It's just really actually simplifying to create a desire and effect for an object. Now, it could be applied some sexual things, so you'll desire to want to have the same ways and beliefs as what these Luciferians would want, or ways that somebody wants you to believe. It's a way of manipulating your willpower. But when you look at the object and you realize it for what it is, a sex thing, and you step back and you go, oh, I know what it is. It's to get me to like that car. It's to get me to like that music or the beer or clothes or perfume. When you know, have that reality, again, this is the perception. When you have the awareness, when you're really awakened, your perception realizes it, and you can step back. You can get, oh, wow, this really turns me on. But you step, you know that what it is, so it's not being influenced. It's like watching a scary movie, you know, but you went to Universal Studios and you saw how the movie was made and how the it's not real blood, it's all fake, it's not real knives, it's not real gunshots. You know it's make-believe. Once you know it's make-believe, you don't take it so serious. Of course, that goes in reverse. Some people, when they see so much blood and violence on TV, for example, and then there's real violence, they can't differentiate. So some people say they become used to images of violence, and they assume war is like watching what's on TV, but in reality it isn't. And those who've been around violence and war would know that. So there's a character of that too, influence. But again, if you know that is all BS and you can separate that up, that's part of elevating yourself. That's actually really awakening. Not be empowering it, just be awakened, that's what it is. When you see something sexual in it, yeah, you can get all excited about it. Oh, that hot chick, oh, wow. But you're not going to go out and buy that beer right then and there because you see that girl in there. You're not going to go bow down to Lucifer because you know what it is. Get it? You know the trick. So you're not influenced. So you're not giving up your willpower. You can listen to rock and roll and listen to anything you want. And you're not influenced because you know the magic trick. You know what there is a magic trick. So it's not bad to have fun and listen to certain things and listen to things and experience life and da-da-da. But the same token, you're aware of a magic trick, including utilization of sex. And you're not going to give up your willpower. So, yep, that's a hot girl, but it won't drive you crazy, like I said, to get that beer. But like I said, many fall prey to believing that symbols and images can manipulate you. Most in humanity fall prey to it because they have given up their willpower. Like having been hypnotized, which also, like I had mentioned, diminishes your willpower. So, again, don't ever do it. Giving up your willpower diminishes your self-worth. Again, giving up your willpower, your will diminish your self-worth. And ultimately, that is how this magic trick works. Causing you, which is the cause you volunteered. I was going to use an expletive, but I have enough expletives. I'm trying to cut down my expletives. I mean, you believed in it. If you believed in it, then you volunteered in it. If you think somebody's influencing your dreams, gone into your dreams, your own belief in it has created it. You just volunteered in it. Get it? This is how it works. If you don't believe in it, they can't do anything to you, can they? If they got you believing it, then they got you doing it. I have some friends of mine who say, hey, you know, I have this dream, and I think this person's doing stuff in my dreams, or this person's doing this to me. They're doing it? No, you just allowed them to do it. You know the old power of, you know, somebody pushing your buttons and getting you angry? Get it? If somebody pushes your buttons and gets you all upset, and he says, that person's making me upset. No, you volunteered to allow that person to get you upset. In other words, you gave up your willpower to allow that person to push your buttons. If the person's getting you saying all kinds of stuff to get you going, and you just say, hey, I know I'm not getting upset. I don't really care. You've gone beyond that. You didn't give up your willpower. We're all asked from giving testing our willpower, which is a whole other deal. Maybe I should do a whole show about willpower. But that's the point of it. But if you're aware of the BS magic trick, then that is what it is. These symbols are pure bullshit. It's a pure bullshit magic trick. That these symbols in reality don't mean crap. Then, in reality, then your range of perception is broadened, isn't it? And so has your frequency increased. And so has your self-worth increased. When you become an awaken to the reality, as you awaken toward the closer toward the reality, thus increasing your frequency, increasing your perception, realizing that these symbols mean nothing in reality, then it is what it is, isn't it? Nothing. Spiritually, so again I will reiterate, your reality is based upon your perceptions. And when it is based upon your perceptions, is based upon your frequency. So again, increasing your frequency broadens your understanding, increases your perception, heightens your perception, thus increasing your awareness. I'm going to go into something real quick. Someone once posted on a Facebook, well, I'll get to it. And he says, let's get this straight. There is no leftist equivalent to the right's violent rhetoric of Tea Party. This is reference to, I think, you know, the guy who was shooting, I don't know, you guys heard about, in Arizona, I don't know, heard overseas, try to kill this congresswoman, and they're talking left, right, and all this stuff. Well, this person posted it. So what I responded with it, this is my response, has got someone posted. I said, left nut or right nut, hell, they're both nuts. They are the same and scream the same. We are right, you are wrong, from both different corners of the canvas in the boxing ring. I think I heard that one before. This person's response was, responded to me, I'd say the ones in the right corner have a megaphone, whereas those in the left corner are just trying to be heard. See? I just showed how they're both nuts. And here this person just showing me, whoa, they have a bigger megaphone, and they're the right ones, and there's the left ones. So my response to this, because I still see the person going, hey, they're on the left side, and I'm on the left side, they're on the right side. So my response was, I'm not right or left, I'm middle finger. So his response was, well, the middle finger being the fuck you sign doesn't bring about any coming together. Back in the 1960s, where I came from, the peace sign got more people to come together. And my response was, well, First of all, I was not being literal. I was being sarcastic to make my point, which could also be taken as make love, not war, right? Point being, as I was trying to say this, as I said, it was sort of ironic. As I said, symbols are often dependent upon perception, aren't they? You see what happens here? I'm talking about flipping off my middle finger. Person thought as negative as a fuck you. And yet, I could say fuck you, the middle sign could say, hey, make love. It can be number one. It can mean anything, how that finger is, right? His point of the symbols are often dependent on the perception. I create perception. Do we see the exact same in the same way? Do we have the exact same taste? So does everyone in the world have the same exact reaction to symbols and images? No, 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 and no. I may have done an extra no there. Now, I am not right or left wing. I am the middle finger wing. That's my new symbol, right? Let's make that our new party symbol for humanity, the middle finger party. So tell me, who wants to join that? The middle finger party with its symbol flipping off the middle finger is just that to those who think they can control and manipulate humanity. We hold our middle finger to the New World Order agenda, to all organized religions. We hold our middle finger to the Vatican, the mosques, the churches, the synagogues, the temple. We hold our middle finger to those who spew hate and divide. We hold our middle finger to the Windsors, the Queen of England, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and Morgans, or A.K.A. Bowers, real name for the Rothschilds, and all their supposed bloodlines. We hold our middle finger as we're one. We're all one. One humanity, one earth, one universe. So with this is what I close with. And this is the ultimate thing. And this is a separate issue. Something I've written, and I think it relates to many different things. Not just in this one, but an overview, what I see a lot of people. And you can take this how it is. These are my words. A mind that has no heart is in prison. A heart that has no mind is lost. Each is needed, and each is dependent on the other. The soul mind is the compass. The soul's heart is the direction. And every time I close my eyes, I hear. Every time I close my ears, I see. Every time I open my mind, I feel. And every time I open my heart, I understand. And yet, every time I think of nothing, I think of everything. We are all connected to the universe, connected to Earth, and connected to each other. And with that, love and light, God bless you all, and thanks for listening, and have a great, great weekend. God bless you all. Thanks. Eagle.
that you can't sober up. Long legs like that, it's dangerous. Now be the boy, play your guitar, and take me to the lake with the skeleton. We swore we wouldn't tell anyone about it. We swore we'd fall apart if we had to live without it.
It's cool.